Grab your Bibles, if you would, with me tonight as we're preparing to look into God's Word together for a few minutes this evening. And we are going to be in Philippians chapter number 4 tonight. Philippians chapter number 4. And we're going to look at one verse together and then talk for a few minutes. This idea still of pursuing peace. Though our topic tonight, as far as pursuing peace goes, is that we're going to get a checkup from the neck up. And so Philippians 4 and verse number 8, would you stand with me tonight out of respect for the reading of God's Word? And I'd ask that each of us read this together in unison. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Father, we ask that tonight as we come to your word, Lord, we've already had a full evening together, Father, as being your people and your presence. But Lord, I ask that in these moments, you would give each of us a special attention. Father, that you would even in this moment aliven our minds and aliven our hearts to receive that which you would have for us from your word. Lord, we need you tonight. We need you in this as well. Speak to us, I pray. Change us, I pray, into the image of your dear Son. Help us, I pray, to come to know the peace that you have designed for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so on Wednesday nights, we have been looking at this idea of pursuing peace. The first Wednesday we looked at this, we considered control issues. In other words, taking responsibility for what is mine to be responsible for and giving over to God, letting go of what belongs to God and letting God be God. And so we looked at this idea of control issues. The second week of our study, we looked at this little thing called contentment. And contentment we defined as simply learning that though my position changes, God's provision in my life is constant. And so therefore, I can be content. What we've learned is that peace is not the absence of chaos. That peace is not even the absence of a burden. But peace is the presence of confidence in Christ. Because Christ is bigger than our chaos, and Christ is greater than our burden. And so we're in the book of Philippians again tonight, because Philippians is a book about joy and about peace. And the Bible is clear that stability and security are available for the heart of the Christian. We're admonished in verse number 1 in Philippians 4 that we would, as Paul writes here, so stand fast in the Lord. Verse number 1. And because there is a stability that we are able to have when we stand in Christ. You look at verse number 7, the Bible here talks about the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep, shall guard, shall surround and protect your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And so there is a stability and a security that is available to the heart of Christians. What we sometimes fail to see is that God often connects the matters of our heart to matters of our head. We're familiar with the verse in Proverbs, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Because thoughts produce emotions, and emotions often drive behavior. We can sum it up this way: matters of the mind matter. Matters of the mind, they matter. What goes on in the space between your ears matters. If we're going to pursue peace, well then, we need to go ahead and take a checkup from the neck up. So let's look at verse number 8 together. Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just." Number one, we need to have, let's call them guided thoughts. We need to have guided thoughts. In other words, we should be actively guiding our thoughts to those things that promote character. The word true there means that which is truthful. In other words, it excludes that which is false. Honest means that which is honorable, that which is respectable. The word just means that which is equitable, that which is righteous, and that which is fair. Now, how many of us know tonight that we live in a world that is marked by that which is cheap, that which is corrupt, and that which is chaotic? How many of us recognize that we are surrounded by a world that revels in cheap, corrupt chaos? So, the Bible says we need to guide our thoughts into that which is true, that which is honorable, that which is just, fair, equitable. Now, let me ask you a question. Does much of what you witness on cable news fit that description? Just asking. Does much that you witness on social media represent that which is true, that which is honorable and or respectable, and that which is righteous or fair? Does that which we find on social media meet those criteria? Some of our companions. Do our companions meet that criteria? The conversations we have, whether they're at the dinner table, whether they're around the water cooler, whether they're in the parking lot of the church, do our conversations meet that criteria? Ooh, do our fears meet that criteria? You know, most of what I fear, most of what I worry about is stuff that could happen. But that ain't true, is it? That ain't true. And so what we start to realize is, does cable news meet that criteria? Not typically, if I may make that statement, but how much time do we spend watching cable news? There's a lot of Americans out there that have cable news on as background noise in their home. And so whether it's Fox or CNN or anybody else, it is constantly being pumped into the house. It is constantly present. I'm going to tell you, it's taking our thoughts somewhere. And if it's not honest, true, and just, it's not taking our hearts towards peace. You know, there's a lot of Christians out there that if they have a spare moment, do you know what they do? They open XYZ social media, and they scroll, and they scroll, and they scroll, and they scroll, just because sometimes they're bored. But what we see on social media, what we hear on, it's taking us somewhere. You see, what goes on in the mind, it matters. And so if we fill our homes with that which is not honest and that which is not true and that which is not just, and we fill our lives with that which is not true and honest and just, and we look at our companions and our conversations and those critical conversations we often have, those fears that often swirl in our minds, do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, this is a powerful verse, one I use as a youth pastor all the time. It's a very simple verse. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Makes sense, right? But most of us let our mind, if I may make an application here, walk with some pretty foolish companions. We let our minds walk with people and listen to people and engage with people. We let our minds immerse themselves in that which is not true, that which is not honorable, that which is not righteous. But there is a stark warning here. Because these things take our minds and hearts somewhere. But when it comes to this idea of guiding our thoughts, the more I thought about it, the more I realize how little I actively purpose to guide the thoughts of my head. And how little thought I give to guarding or guiding my thoughts away from some of these cheap, chaotic, and corrupt things of the earth. You know, sometimes our thoughts in our heads, rather than being guided, are more like a wild, raging bull. They just kind of go all over the place, and we feel helpless to control them. But ladies and gentlemen, children of the King, we have a choice in Christ to guide our thoughts. That's why we're admonished, Colossians 3 and verse number 2, to set our affections on things above. Because our natural mind, hear me, our natural mind doesn't default to higher things. Our natural mind wants to know what's the next scandal with that political party we don't like. Our natural mind wants to say what so-and-so said about that picture on social. Our natural mind enjoys some of that garbage. But Christian, you have a choice. Your mind doesn't have to be held hostage. We need to guide our minds. We need to care for our minds. We need to develop our minds just as we would our physical body or a muscle. You know, there's a computer phrase out there, garbage in, garbage out. It applies physically as well. If I put garbage into my body is going to be garbage in its performance. Over the weekend, we had grilled cheese. I will simply say I asked for one too many. I'll let you guess what that number might be. You're not my priest. I'm not confessing my sins to you. But I asked for one grilled cheese too many, and I felt like trash for the rest of the weekend. You ever been there? You shouldn't have eaten that last piece of pizza. You shouldn't have eaten that eighth hot dog. You've been there. I've been there. And it's that principle. When we put garbage in, performance out is garbage. I'm going to tell you, church, we are surrounded by that which is cheap, that which is corrupt, and that which is chaotic. And the Christian needs to guide his thoughts, turn stressful thinking into scriptural thinking. It's not that we ignore the chaos. It's not that we put blinders on and go, la, 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 everything's okay. No. We aren't blind to the chaos, but what it is that we do believe Jesus is greater. We don't ignore the chaos, but nor do we allow the chaos to undermine our confidence in Jesus. And church, if you and I are going to have peace, peace that passes all understanding, if we are going to have that stability and security that is available to the heart of the Christian, we have to guide our thoughts to that which is true, to that which is honorable, and that which is just, righteous, fair, and equitable. We need guided thoughts. But Paul gave a couple other things that we need to take account of. Go back with me to verse number 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. So Paul says, for this peace, perfect peace, we not only need guided thoughts, but we also need guarded thoughts. If we need to guide our thoughts into that which promotes character, true, honorable, just, then we need to guard our thoughts to only have those things that promote cleanliness. See, the word pure, it means that which is modest, that which is clean, that which is chaste. In other words, that which is not perverted. Lovely means that which is friendly, acceptable, and pleasing. Good report means that which is edifying. It builds up, which is well spoken of. How many of us recognize that we live in a world that has immersed itself in that which is carnal and that which is crude. That our world is perverted and proud of it. You realize that tonight? You consider the entertainment that's out there, whether it's TV, movies, music. It's garbage. It's perverse. You think of the profanity. It's in almost every show. You think of the sensuality. Many of them nowadays openly pornographic. You think of the blasphemy. You even think about the casual nature of the sexuality that's portrayed. And sometimes, oftentimes, Christians who leave themselves open to these things get sucked into these things. Heard things like, well, I'm just so happy that those two characters finally got together. So what you're saying is, it pleased you that two characters finally decided to fornicate on television. It's not sweet. It's not lovely. It's not pure. And church, when we open our mind and our heart up to these things, it matters. Because it's taking us somewhere. We have become, as a culture, and sadly as a church, so desensitized to the garbage and the trash in this world. There was an article on one of the major news sites this week. Oh, it's so bad, I'm trying to figure out how to appropriately say it. That praised one of the musical performances on something this week is finally a performance of what they call, quote, healthy sexuality. And it's garbage. But much of the church, whether they realize it or not, has grown desensitized. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be able to listen to worldly music and it not have a worldly influence on you. You might say, well, brother, there's this one song or there's this one artist, and boy, you know, that they know God and they don't curse, and some of their songs are pretty good. I'm not going to argue with you. But you find one artist out of 1,000, I'm not digging in the dumpster to try to find the leftover pieces of steak. I'm not doing it. It's not worth it. Because the reality is, when we leave ourselves open to garbage, it affects what goes on here, and it affects what goes on here, and it affects what happens out here. And our world has missed the boat. Our world doesn't get it. The Church of Jesus Christ has to. We have no concept, I'm afraid, of how spotted and stained our minds become. To the point where we reason and excuse the garbage instead of rejecting it. Now, let me encourage you tonight. After all that, let me encourage you. You know, if point number one, to guide our thoughts, we have a choice. Point number two, to guard our thoughts, we have a challenge. This world is not your friend. The smut that this world puts out is not to your benefit. I'm going to tell you, we live in a world that is immersed in wicked perversion. They know nothing of what is pure. They know nothing of what is lovely. They know nothing of what is of good report to build others up in a positive. They know nothing of that. And so here's the challenge. Because we are to be in the world to make a difference in the world, but we are not to allow the world to creep into us. You know, that was the problem that Israel had. You know, God took them out of Egypt in one night, but it took them 40 years to get Egypt out of them. And church, it is a challenge to stay pure. It is a challenge to say, I am not going to give place to the devil in my entertainment, in my friends. I'm not going to give the devil a place here in my conversation. I am not going to give place to the devil. I am not going to excuse the garbage. I'm going to reject it. To guard our intake. You know, Paul wrote this in Romans 16 and verse number 19. He said, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. He said, but I would have you be wise unto that which is good. Guide your thoughts into that which is good, but simple concerning evil. Simple concerning evil. Simple. Because the principle is that the quality of our outward life and that peace we say we pursue will never rise above, will never exceed the purity of our inward life. That's why Solomon admonishes us in Proverbs 4 and verse number 23 to keep, to guard, to watch over our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here, sinful thinking needs to be turned over into scriptural thinking. In church, we do not deny the presence of the garbage in our world, but we also don't willfully choose to live in the dumpster. Guarded thoughts. Guarded thoughts. So if we're pursuing peace, what are we pursuing? As we do this checkup from the neck up, so to speak, or deal with our stinking thinking, that was title number two, but it didn't make the cut. Well, number one, we need guided thoughts. We have a choice. We have a choice. Number two, we need guarded thoughts. We do have a challenge on our hands. Number three, when we guide our thoughts and guard our thoughts, we find ourselves with God-given tranquility, peace. Again, verse number 8 reminds us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Notice what it says, if there be any virtue, any moral excellence, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse number 9, Paul writes, those things which ye have both heard, learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Read this last part with me, church. And the God of peace shall be with you. God-given tranquility. Because this stability, this security, this peace that God offers us, this God-given resource is available for all his children. We looked at it earlier. We're in verse number 8. But you go back to verse number 7, one verse before, immediately in the context, the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse number 8 that we looked at tonight, it reminds us in that last part that we need to think on these things. That idea of think on has to do to deliberate on, to take inventory of, to meditate on that which is virtuous and that which is praiseworthy. Why? Because we have a choice. We face a challenge, but we have a choice to guide and to guard our hearts into those things that pull us out of, that lift us above the chaotic, crude world we live in. That's why Paul admonished in Romans 12 in verse number 2. Take note of this. He says, and be not conformed to this world. This is not where we belong. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. And some of us tonight, we think, boy, that's a lot of things to have to true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report and virtue and praise. Where do I start? Start at the beginning where it says, which is true. Let me bring back a verse that we looked at Sunday morning, John 17:17, where Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So do you want to start to transform your mind? Be able to prove what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? There is no better place than to start with that which is truth. And allow the word of God to take root in your mind. Allow the word of God to take root in your heart. And allow the word of God to be able to work his perfect peace in you. If you don't know where to start, start with truth. Start with truth. Start with truth. This book makes us blessable. Joshua chapter 1, Psalm 1, James 1. This book makes us blessable. Start with truth. And this God-given tranquility is something that does not fail. It passes understanding. But the reality is most of us tonight aren't wondering where to start. Because the Holy Spirit has very clearly spoken to us about something. Something that we need to either purposefully guide our hearts into, or something that may already be in our lives that we need to purposefully guard our heart from. And I'm going to tell you, you look at verse number 9, Paul reminds us that peace, the presence of God that brings peace is a byproduct of simply doing, thinking on, performing that which we know is good and that which we know is right. And I gotta be honest, I am far from a perfect understanding of every detail and every implication, even of the one verse we looked at tonight. In my study, there are about a million questions that I asked myself that I couldn't answer. And so I said, I guess I'm not preaching that way. I don't know exactly where I want to do with that. I don't have it all figured out, but I'm going to tell you, it's not what I don't have figured out that bothers me, that weighs me down, that robs me of peace. No, what it is it's that which I do understand, but that which I do not fully live. It's that which I do understand, but haven't yet submitted to, surrendered to. But if we want the peace of God that passes all understanding, if we want the peace of God, it's going to blow your mind. The peace that comes from God only comes by the process God has laid out. In other words, if we want God's peace, we've got to do it God's way. I love John 13 and verse number 17. Jesus says this, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I'm going to tell you, church, we have great clarity. We do. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to search. We don't have to struggle in this stressful, sinful world that seems to pull us every which way. Peace is possible. Perfect peace is possible. And it's possible because of Jesus. You know, the Bible says that he is our peace. And I would encourage you, this would be a great Bible study for you to do, maybe a great Bible study for you and your family to do, so I'm not going to give you all the answers, but do you know who is truth? Who is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if I want to think on things that are true, there's no better place to start than consider Jesus. Do I know anyone who's honorable, worthy of praise? Do I know of anyone who is just and righteous in all that he does? Do I know of anyone who is pure, without spot or blemish? Do I know of anyone who is lovely? Do I know anyone who's of good report? Someone who could be associated with good news. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Because true peace is not the absence of stress. True peace is not the absence of a world gone crazy. True peace is not all circumstances going my way. True peace is absolute confidence that Jesus is enough. Christian, matters of the mind, they matter. Matters of the mind, they matter. They matter. Let us not forget where we started many weeks ago, Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." And church, if you and I are going to pursue peace, if you and I are going to come to know his perfect peace, then it means that in this moment and many other moments in our lives, we need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to perform a checkup from our neck up, because it matters.